Welcome, my friends. I give you my peace. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we say thanks. It is a beautiful day. The weather here was nice for a change. The sun was out and we were able to partake of your service. And for that, we say thank you. Many words were brushed across our hearts. All of us heard different things because each service is tailor-made for each individual soul. And if we ask for something, Father, then you never disappoint us and we always get something. So in this evening hour, Father, we've already knocked on your heart and we've asked that the three of you will come and spend time with us, that you'll enlighten us, that you'll share with us what is important. And HS and I have worked together to come up with a few things for the team. And we're thankful, Father, that you have called us to be this for you. We know that sometimes it's difficult to fulfill our commission, but Father, look at our hearts and see that we make every effort to make you happy, to do what is asked of us. Provide strength now and provide peace for everyone who's attending here. And for those that cannot attend, we pray that you will grant them peace and connect their hearts with us too. We pray, Father, if there's something that's troubling anybody, that you'll please remove it so that they can focus on this evening hour. And if there's something special that lays in their heart, please see that, Father, and answer it when the time is right. We lay everything in your hands. We also extend an invitation to eternity. We know service for the departed is 2 weeks away, and they are always on our heart. We pray for your blessing over them and our brothers and sisters who work there as well. Cover everybody, and according to what we ask, in your name we pray, please hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, let us start with a little bit of meditation. Father's excited, he's waiting for us. Please take a deep breath in. Make sure you're grounded. Meet us in Father's chamber. He wants us to stand in a circle. He'll be in the middle and we can all hold hands. Father is taking a minute to look around at everybody. He's holding up his hands and he's clearing everybody's space. You may feel a little bit of a breeze as it sweeps through your soul. Father said he's giving everybody a full service wash. No wax, that's extra. He said everybody's so serious, everyone needs to lighten up a little bit. Take a deep breath. Father said, we have much to discuss. There is much in my message to you. Some of you have been asking for something special. You will receive it. Some of you have concerns on your heart. Per Triland, I am going to answer them when the time is right. Some of you have worry. Take a deep breath and let go of that. There is nothing to worry about. Nothing from this world is allowed in this meeting. I have sanctified Triland, and I have made all of you holy to help you focus on this evening hour. Spring is around the corner, and that's when new growth happens. We will have an early spring this evening. Everybody take a deep breath. Father wants to shine his light and life on us like a warm sun that cuts through the darkness in the morning light with a sunrise. Some of us are lacking vitamin D, he said. This sun will fill your soul. It's the best vitamin everything. You may feel your heart quicken in your body. That is normal. Take deep breaths. We're trying something different tonight. I do not want you all to get stagnant in what you think I'm going to provide for you when we have our meditation sessions. try and make it new each time. Exciting. I want you to know that I value all of you, that I do appreciate your sacrifices, that I appreciate your commitment to me. And now that all of you have taken the vow, I appreciate that you hold that dear to your heart and have received confirmation of what your function is. And I will help you fulfill that. Take a deep breath. Your Father's love covers you now, like a warm blanket. I am your protector. I am your shield. I am your Father. Take another deep breath. When you're ready, open your eyes. Feel the zhuzh. Okay. I met with Father, and he said, "My dear souls, some have suffered loss this month. I want all of you to know that I needed Betty to help complete my work in eternity. She has a faith like no other. It is with that she will show so many how to forgive and overcome anything, just as she did. Nova, I know how proud you are of your mother. You may come and see her anytime you would like. Please come to my chamber. With that said, let us stay in the vein of eternity. The service for the departed is 2 weeks away. Preparatory service for the departed is a week away from today. Have you gone into eternity to help? Jesus told Triland on Friday that his help is needed there, and he will take him to where he is needed most. All of you have many gifts. Jesus or your lead angels can take you as well where you are also needed most. There is still time. Please go. No excuses. I could always make you sick so you cannot go to work, and then you would have no excuse, and you would then have the time. You know that I will not do that. It is important that you are active. Serve there and serve here. Again, be vigilant and follow through when HS prompts you. You are watched by many unknown to you. Yes, here on Earth. Have you ever seen someone stare at you and then they look away suddenly? It is because they do not understand who you are. It is on a deeper level that they are looking at you and they are not aware. This is who you are. They know there is something different about you. In time, you will grow into your gifts and the world will see them and know you. I know that all of this can be overwhelming at times, but I ask you to push forward. Never fear anything, including the future. I have given you my word that you and your families are safe. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to work through you. Sanctify yourself. Even though you ask me for forgiveness, you must also sanctify, consecrate yourself before you do your work. For the work you do is holy. This is done through prayer. Ask me. I need all of you to understand that I have chosen you for this perfect task. When you serve others, they will feel me, my love, even more because you are consecrated and have readied your heart. Never forget that you are not of this world. I consecrated your new energy when I made you a guardian, and you accepted your new vow. Now be you. Delve into your gifts. Come and see me. I can open them to you and share with you the power you hold. I love you always. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
And you said sanctify?
Yes.
More than grounding or?
Yeah, and it's a good question. Someone else asked me the same question. The definition of sanctify is sanctification, or in its verb form, sanctify, literally means to set apart for special use or purpose. That is, to make holy or sacred. Therefore, sanctification refers to a state or process of being set apart, i.e., made holy as a vessel, full of the Holy Spirit of God. All you need to do, before the meeting, I spent a few minutes with Father and I knelt in front of him. And before I could say anything, he said to me, and he put his hands on me and said, I sanctify you to be a holy vessel for me. I forgave your sins, and now I sanctify you and set you apart so that nothing of this world comes through. Does anybody have any question about that?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I could just add to that.
Sure.
As servants, we meet with the brothers in the sacristy, and the one who is holding the service does a prayer. And in that prayer, typically it is said, I know I always say it, but it's typically said, Father, please bless and sanctify us that we can serve your children according to your will. And it's that simple. And I never really thought about doing that before I go into eternity, but that's beautiful.
That's what I thought too. Father's taken us one step closer now to what we really have to do. He's trying to take us out of this world and show us that he's created us specifically for this reason. And we now need to focus on it.
Nice.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. For a deeper understanding, which this goes in hand in hand with today's service. So I thought that was interesting. It's Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In the NIV version, it's a little bit clearer. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Today's service was about following and being like Christ, right? And that comes from you and I forbidding ourselves from doing those same things over and over again that unsanctify us. And we sin and we come to Father with the same things over and over again. And in this message, Paul was trying to tell everybody, if you don't do this, then there's going to be no benefit for you. But if you do, it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful. But in the overall end of it, you'll harvest righteousness, which means we're divinely correct in what Father asks of us. Does that make sense to everybody? And an interesting tidbit, even though we've heard the word 1,000 times, Father's life and strength is still in every word. Today's service, I've heard that passage, I don't know how many times in my life of being new apostolic. We continue to hear certain texts come through. Even my wife will comment and go, didn't we hear about this recently? Or don't we hear about this all the time? And I'll sometimes throw out to the chief, there's a whole book. It's got a ton of other passages. Why are we focusing on this thing? Well, we've often heard too, it's for eternity's sake, right? But it's also, even though you and I have heard it, there is still life in that word. It comes through from Father's heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it to us. And if the minister has sanctified himself and prepared himself right, even though you and I might sit in a moment and go, I know this, blah, 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 it still penetrates our heart, right? We still get strength. We still get insight. We still get clarity. And we walk away with something more than we did when we came in. So we can't ever discount that we're hearing the same story over and over again, right? Every single service has merit. And when you and I put it first, and sometimes it's hard to focus. So again, I create a gold sun and I have it over here. It's going through my third eye and it's going over my top of my head and I focus my attention and I'm sitting in the middle of my den in my house and I'm focusing on what the servant is saying. And even today, I was taking notes for tonight because it was sparking so many things for me I wanted to share with you. Because I'll be honest with you, I had two things on the agenda. And then I sent that email and then we finally listened to the service and I paid attention and HS was just blah, 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 blah. I could barely keep up with the guy. And here we are. But that's what it should be for you and I. It should, if you and I are actually connected to a service, it should spark something inside of us. It should give us questions within ourselves. It should cause us to lean a little bit and go, I've never really looked at it that way. Or even ask Father during the service, I've heard this, can you tell it in a different way, right? Because I've been in services where I've said that, and all of a sudden the minister will go, let me explain it to you a little bit different. And I chuckle to myself, and I say, that's just for me. Nobody else has to listen now. This is just for me, because I'm ignorant, right? No. But we need to be invested in the services. It is not Father's responsibility to make sure you and I get something, right? It's our responsibility to prepare ourselves. And I actually have in today's agenda the prep and process that we should go through before we even walk through the door in Father's house. But there's a lot of other things I want to cover first, but we will get to that. And even if we have to go a little over, it's important, I think, that we spend time on that. So anybody have any comment or question on those things?
I have a question.
Yeah.
What service did everybody have? The service that was Luke 9:23.
Read the text. Said,
say it again.
Read the text.
Okay. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Correct.
And is that is from the chief apostle? So I think it's worldwide.
Yes, we had that one.
Okay, so it's interesting that when I was preparing for this, what came across, well, let me back up. We used to always think carry your cross is, these are all the burdens you have to carry, you have to deal with it. It's a little bit deeper than that. What it really means, or another way to look at it, is take up your cross and leave sins behind. Because the Lord Jesus took the cross of sin, basically, and carried it to Golgotha, died, and the sin was removed. So it's an interesting way to look at it.
Yes.
Did anybody else hear it that way?
No, we didn't.
Our service went a different way.
So did ours.
For us, it was more dying daily. Like it was compared to Paul speaking of dying daily in Christ so that Christ could be alive in him.
Hmm. Okay. It's pretty plain. That's okay. Thank you.
No, thank you for sharing that with us because we all needed to hear it that way too. Because it just makes this morning service a little bit clearer too. Even though we all went in different veins, that makes a lot of sense. So thank you for sharing that, Q. We have a religion, and I'll let Trisus say it because I will probably hack it up when I say it. So, Trisus.
It's called Sikhism. So, hang on. I'm going to try to share my screen here.
I'm not going to be able to read it.
Let's see here. Share screen. And there we go.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody see that nice long word? Sikhs are often mistaken for many other religions, but they're the Indian gentlemen that wear the turban, not the Middle Eastern gentlemen that wear the turban. I know in Toronto, there's quite a few Sikh temples, churches, the Wardha. I had to highlight with the little yellow circles because it's amazing. Sikh means discipline, a disciple, seeker, learner. It's a Dharmic religion that originated in the Punjab region of India, in the Indian subcontinent. The way of the guru is basically what they call it. Gurmat is, you know, the English word to that. It's quite interesting because they have the same features to their religion as most other religions. It's not unusual. They basically talk about getting rid of the five thieves: lust, rage, greed, attachment, ego. If you look at our, you know, tenet and look at what Jesus said, he wraps those all up into the two commandments. This religion was not as old as Islam, and these gentlemen that started this religion were tormented. And there was a young man that's basically started it, from what they say, but they know it's older than him. But he came back after being lost from 3 days and said, "There is no Hindu, there is no Muslim." And after that, he started preaching. And about age 50, he started writing stuff down. But two of the big Sikh gurus back in the day in the early 1500s were tortured because they would not convert. And this only made the religion even stronger. Sikhism is classified as an Indian religion along with Buddhism, Hinduism, and Jainism. And that Jainism is what we're going to discuss next time because I've never even heard of it. Sikh ethics emphasize the congruence between spiritual development and everyday moral conduct. Pretty much every religion, but they take it a little bit further. There is a God, the wondrous teacher. He's shapeless, timeless, the creator, incomprehensible and invisible. In a literal sense, God has no gender, but they refer to God's power as feminine because of his graciousness. Which is quite interesting. I wanted to read this. This is the opening line of the Guru Granth Sahib. I apologize. I'm not good at speaking or pronouncing non-English words. I can barely speak English, but there is one supreme being, the eternal reality, a realty, the creator without fear and devoid of enmity, immortal, never incarnated, self-existent, known by grace through the true. We could really take most of that and put it into our teaching. It's quite an interesting way of looking at things. They not only have a spiritual view, but a physical. Everything here that they do on this planet during their lifetime means something. You can read the different areas here printed, but I wanted to jump through so I'm not spending a half hour on this. Sikhism regards God as a true king, the king of kings, the one who dispenses justice through the law of karma. We've all heard of karma, right? Karma is a, you know, the word we can't say. And I haven't even gone into that. It's amazing how most of what I read didn't even talk about karma. That comes later. I went into several study areas, even directly onto a website for Sikhs, and it's all about peaceful means of negotiation in the pursuit of justice, and how we live here. This is a lifespan chart of all the gurus. They eventually decided that because of the way it was going, it was easier to think of their text, their written word, as the next living guru. Because these gurus only live a little bit. You can see they didn't live that long and were killed, boom, by the Muslims or by the Hindus. So they basically came up with a way to make their religion grow without having a head of the religion as a target for the other religions. The Guru Granth Sahib is a huge work. There's 6,000 lines. If you've ever heard of Indian music, you could maybe even be hearing some of the Guru's Granth. It's amazing. It's sung. They have copies of this document. Like I said, it's not considered an object. It's considered alive. They have quite a few observances. They have a ritual once they're baptized. You can be a Sikh without being baptized. Excuse me, I have something in my eyeball. But once you're baptized, you're really brought into the faith and you're expected to follow it religiously. Religiously, that's funny. Rigorously. The baptized Sikh recites the five morning prayers, the evening and night prayers. Family customs include both reading passages from the scripture and attending the Gurudwara, the physical building, the church, the temple. If you go anywhere in any of the major cities, you'll find one. It could be mistaken as a Muslim or Hindu building, but there's specific ways that they are built. They have quite a few festivals, ceremonies, quite a few things. It's very rich, let's just say that. This is interesting, and I found that there are physical attributes to the religion that have to be followed. They wear five items. I can't pronounce them, but the gentlemen never cut their hair, ever. Never. They carry a small wooden comb, a circular steel or iron bracelet, a sword and dagger, and then some special undergarment that has been blessed. That is required. Most of religion is in India, but I found it interesting that the Sikhs migrated to Canada in this 19th century, and there are quite a few big communities in South Vancouver, Surrey, British Columbia, Brampton, Ontario. So, I mean, these are all places we know of. So, the Canadians probably have a better opportunity to see a Sikh temple or somebody from the Sikh religion easier than the United States. But they're all over the Canadian and mostly northern areas of the United States. They really don't like eating meat, especially meat that's been killed ritualistically. So it's against, it's completely different from the Jewish faith or the Muslim faith. They obviously, having extramarital affairs is not, taken too kindly to as well. But that's just a brief description of what the Sikh religion is. I encourage you to read this. There are many more religions we're going to go over this year, and I'll try to go into it more deeply and create more links that you can follow. I'll make it a live document. But does anybody have any questions or anything they wanted me to go over again?
I've heard of them, but I never really had any information like this. So thank you.
Yeah, there was a huge problem as a caveat after 9/11. I don't know if you all remember, but there were a lot of Sikh temples and Sikhs being killed openly in the streets of New York because they thought they were Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible, horrible situation. And I've added them to my prayers for this service for departed because, these are people that were caught in the middle all through their entire history. They're not Muslim. They're not Buddhist. They're not this. So they had to basically create their own faith, but they've always been thought of, hey, look at that guy. He's a whatever. So that's just a small caveat to that as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to stop sharing.
Nuke, you have something you'd like to share with the team?
Yeah. So on Monday, February 7th, I was heading out to the store to grab something, and I was on 31 North. And I'm sorry. Give me just a moment.
Oh, but that's okay. We can hear over the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take him.
Those without child, raise your hand.
All right, he got his foot stuck in the baby gate.
Ouch.
So Monday, February 7th, I was heading out to grab something from the store. I was on 31 North, and someone who later on appeared to be intoxicated pulled out in front of me, was swerving all over the place. I had the thought to call in a reckless driver, but before I could even get my phone up, they had been swerving all over the road and collided with a car that was stopped at a red light. I was going about 60 miles an hour, and they were pulling ahead of me at a steady pace. So I would put them at going between 65 and 70 miles an hour, crashing into a stopped car. The vehicle they crashed into had two elderly people in it, both of whom were unresponsive when I approached the scene, and there were two other witnesses that walked up to the cars with me. I called 911 immediately, but just had this feeling that something was really wrong. Anyway, long story short, authorities came on the scene. They took care of everything. Next day, or some short time afterwards, found out that the man in the driver's seat did pass away from his injuries. And actually that night he came to me, and Q saw him a little bit after that as well. And he didn't say anything to either of us. I don't really know how to explain it, but I could feel the amount of anger that he had, but he would not speak. And he was somewhat understandably angry at the man that collided with them. I haven't seen him since. I've been praying for him, but I know that he's struggling. His passenger was an elderly woman. She, last I heard, was in the hospital with injuries. I haven't heard any report of how she's doing, but just keep them in your prayers, please.
Sure can. Thank you. Trisus, you had something you'd like to share?
Yeah. Give me a second here. I got to find my notes to it. We have been able to go into different countries and destroy demons. Everybody does it differently, I'm assuming, but I basically get my lead. I get ready. I prepare. I look at a map on Google to see what the terrain looks like, depending if there's mountains or not, because that might take a little more effort. At least my lead tells me I should pog more fiercely at different points. I chose to destroy demons in Mongolia. I thought it was going to be pretty routine, you know, feeling quite confident. We went in on the eastern side, and we had destroyed already about 200 million demons. It was quite a battle. It wasn't our normal complement. Usually we have a couple hundred angels in our complement. About halfway through, my lead said, we're going to need more help, and brought our complement up to about 300,000 on our side. A battle line was drawn in the middle of Mongolia. So if you can imagine, just in your mind's eye, I'm picturing this while I'm pogging, running, and I can see these lines being created, and Satan standing off on the other side of Mongolia laughing, you know, like, ha, ha, ha. We hit the line, and it was fierce. My gifts have never really been seeing, more of a feeling or a sense. I could see the battles, just like Trilling used to describe, like we were in a mall and he's like, oh, there's a battle going on right there. Or, oh, we're driving. And it was fierce. Our side, of course, was winning, but they kept bringing more. legion after legion after legion. And finally, we broke through and pushed them back into China. And that's when Jolil said, let's just stop. There's too many for us to go beyond that. And by then, I was already exhausted. It was almost 30 minutes. Usually, it's just a few minutes. We lost about 200 angels, but Father brought them back right away. At one point, we were fighting over a billion demons. The cacophony and the noise and the, there's picture any battle that you've had or on a movie. And by the time we were done, we destroyed about 860 million. And I kind of looked at my shoulder and went, how many? 860 million, about, you know. It was intense. I look back at that and it was amazing. I mean, I felt humbled that here I am, a human being, yes, a new creature, but being able to lead a force like that, to destroy something like that, it gave me more confidence, to be quite honest. So my tip to you is, don't underestimate your power, what Father's given. Obviously, with his words today, he's told me many times, he said, you are a formidable force, you meaning the guardians. You don't know what yet you can do. He said, Satan is not scared, but he has been put on notice because now we're coming at him. So you might see more and more coming at you. It's because now you are a formidable foe. That's my word to you. Don't be fearful. Even if you can't see or hear, you can feel something and go at it. I mean, not that I enjoy this, right? We're not doing it as like, hey, look what I can do. But in the battle, don't be fearful. And Father even told me, he said, this was for me personally, but I want to share it. He goes, you are a formidable force as a handicapped person. Satan fears you. Because when you become whole, you'll become unstoppable. So,
awesome.
Dang it, I hate crying. So that's what I want to share. Stupid emotions. I got something in my
soul.
Eye.
It's a soul breathing.
It's dust. It's all dust good. In my eye. But yeah, so.
Wonderful.
I hold my hand.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus in true form came and saw me today, and we went into eternity, and I had no idea where we were going, but I went and I saw Father first, and he told me to be me, and he sanctified me, and Jesus took me by the arm, or actually had me hold his arm, and he said, we're going to go into a series of connected realms. So the first realm we went into is the unknown. And I've been in this realm before, but Jesus kind of elaborated a little bit more on it. He said, these souls feel that Father doesn't even know them and that they are completely forgotten about. So I stood there for a moment and Jesus said, you do not even have to say anything. Just stand there and let your light shine. So I did. And all these souls kind of covered their faces and blocked their eyes. And I felt like I wanted to say something. And Jesus kind of held my arm with, you know, don't say anything, just be there for them. And we spent a few moments and that was it. Then he went, okay, let's walk through the realm. And it was very long. And then he said, we're going into the next realm. And so we walked into the next realm. And this one was called illogical. He said, these are souls that Father created with such a logic for the jobs that they've had to do that now that they don't have flesh, they still view things as being logical or illogical. Meaning, he said, none of this makes any sense to them. They're completely confused. They don't have any understanding, can't grasp anything that's happening to them, and they won't listen to anybody that comes and talks to them. So in this instance, I said to them, I shone Father's light on them. And I said to them, I ask Father to give you wisdom so that you can understand And I said, and if you ask Father for wisdom, he'll grant it to you so that when he does send someone to talk to you, you will understand them. And a number of these souls actually acknowledged that. So that was encouraging. And then he took me by the arm and we walked into the next one. And it felt different than all the other ones. It felt literally dead, right? And he called this one the unpersistent, which there is no real word for that. But he said they basically gave up and they don't care. And they're just there existing. And I felt bad for them. So I walked into the middle of them and I shone light. And I said to them, I give you joy and I give you sight so that you can see the help when it's standing in front of you. And I would encourage everybody to pray for these realms with these different issues. After we were done with that one, then Jesus took me by the arm and we walked to a cliff. And it was this huge, bottomless kind of thing. It was kind of like this with cages all around it. And it just kept going down as far as you couldn't see. And it was just pitch black. And he said, this is the abyss, the realm of the abyss. And I kind of looked at him and he said, these souls are in such a deep despair that they cannot even be consoled. And I kind of looked at him funny. He said, it's twofold. He said, they're in such deep despair because of something that they lost or they felt was super important and was taken away from them. Or they feel that they don't deserve any righteousness or any forgiveness or anything. So they've decided just to give up and do nothing at all. And just accept the fact that this is what their existence is. So I called in the Light Brigade and I asked every single Light Brigade soldier to stand in front of one of the realms of every single soul that was there. And it took a few moments for all the angels to show up. And then I said, when I tell you, I need you to pog the soul that's in front of you. And so I gave the motion. And I was with my wife in the car. And at one point I went like this. And she goes, what are you pointing at? And I went, hang on a second. That's what I was doing, hon. So I gave the nose, the no to do it now. I mean, and they lit up that realm brighter than the sun. And I said to all of them, through every angel, I am giving you my love. And I am giving you my peace. And you need to feel that you are worthy of this, that you deserve this. And I told him, I even console you, even though you feel you can't be. And I showed him Father's love through the Light Brigade, and we pogged them all. And the funny thing is, every single realm that we walked through was kind of interconnected with almost the same kind of flavor. And then the final one we went into, we walked into this realm and it was called the unfeeling. And I looked at brother and he said, they're just numb. They can't feel anything. And I stood there for a moment and it came to me and I asked all of our brothers and sisters that would like to work in this realm and have tried to come back in. And I asked them to go into every single one of these realms and stand in front of the soul. And every single soul needed to have one of our brothers and sisters in front of them. And then I told him, when I give you the motion, I would like all of you brothers and sisters to hug each soul because I'm going to pog them through you. So they gave these souls a hug, even though they didn't want one. And they bear hugged these souls and I pogged through them. And I gave them Father's love. And I gave them understanding and I gave them grace and Father's peace. And in a few moments, a lot of them started to cry. And then I got emotional and I'm having a moment by myself in the passenger side while my wife is driving Ethan back home. And she's like, are you okay? And I went, yeah, hang on. And it was like everything broke for these souls, that for the first time in their existence of being in this realm, they actually started to cry, which is something. They're feeling something, right? Because you don't cry if you're not feeling anything. And they wept horribly. And our brothers and sisters were there to hold them. Everybody had somebody to hold them. Now, the reason I'm sharing all of this with you is because this that I did in all of these realms is numbered amongst our gifts. We sometimes think that our gifts are to destroy evil or to bring insight to some kind of situation or to see things differently. They're not. Their Father's love, their Father's grace, it's Father's peace. Every single thing that I did today, you can do too. You can go into a realm and you can give them Father's grace and you can give them Father's peace and love. It is all inside of you. And through the vow that you took, Father stands behind you. And that's why he said that when we met together, I will help you go through this and help you complete these tasks. But you and I have to make an effort to actually go and do it. And I felt ashamed that I hadn't been doing it more, right? I'll admit that I have been too focused on what's going on in my own career right now with the new job and everything, that I sat in that moment, I looked at brother and I hugged him. And I said, thanks for dragging me along, kicking and screaming to do my job, you know? And he laughed and he said, there's still time. So I'm encouraging everybody, go. And you don't even have to think about it. Because I looked at Jesus and I went, I have no idea where you need me to go. And he went, I've got this. Just follow me. And so he took me along, had me hand in hand. We walked through everything and they were all connected. And that's something new, because usually when we get going to a realm, we're taken from one place to another place. We literally walked a straight line. And these realms were huge. And then I just sat there and I said to Father, thank you for giving me this opportunity to spend time with these souls who knew exactly who I was, even though I stood there and announced to them, I was Triland. I am the second son of God, and I bring his life and light to you. And you can do the same thing. I'm tranquility. I am the daughter of God, the Father. I bring you tranquility and light and peace. Everybody, you use your name. Your name has power. Try it in a battle. Just say your name and speak it and see what comes out of it. That's another gift that Father wants to unlock. Go see him. He is so disappointed that not everybody's come and seen him yet. He won't say anything to me, but I can feel it when I come and see him. He's like, don't they like me? What's the matter? What, are they afraid of me? I'm not that mean.
We used to give sugar cookies to you.
Exactly. We don't give sugar cookies or nothing. That's true. Well, you know, you got to suck up. That's the gift. Suck up. Oh. Does anybody have any questions? No, I'm crying.
Geological, like, really stands out to me because I work in a field that's predominantly, you know, focused on logic. Mm-hmm. I'm a software developer, for those who don't know. So going to school and doing computer science and really sticking to the logic-based disciplines, it really shows in the workplace environment for a lot of people. And I can definitely tell that a lot of them will probably end up in the same path or end up in that realm, most likely,
right,
based on what I've overheard. So that really stuck out to me. I don't know about everyone else, so
awesome.
Thought I'd share that.
Go to that realm. Have Jesus take you, because now you can relate to them. I can't. Everything is logical to me. Everything makes sense. All right, Fred, can you put that up, please? This is the prep before a divine service. HS and I work together on this.
We'll look at it later. That's too small here.
Okay, so we already talked about sanctifying yourself. I honestly had never thought that before a divine service, I should sanctify myself. But you got to think about it. Would you take a dirty dish and put fresh food into it? No, you wouldn't. That's disgusting, right? Or even if we take a glass and we see something's all mushed up inside there or stuck, we clean it or we get another one. It is no different for us as the vessel that's going to take and hold Father's word. We need to be sanctified and declared holy by Father before we even walk in to get his word. Take a few minutes. Spend some time with Father before the service. You can even do it just as you are coming into his house or before you leave in the prayer that you render before you leave the house, or if you're attending the service from home, take a few minutes before you turn it on and sanctify yourself. And we know what that is. And then go a little farther. And during the week, I do this all the time. I ask Father for something spiritual. Sometimes I have a specific thing that I'm asking from him that is spiritual. But then there's other times where I say to him, I don't know what I'm lacking, but I know you do. Can you please just provide me something? And then when I'm listening to the service, it'll hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'll just look at him and go, thank you. That's exactly what I needed. Ask him for peace. If you're not peaceful before you enter into his house, it's just going to wreak havoc on you. It is so important that you and I are in the right mindset. And so before I attend the service, I'm already grounded. I'm in the center of my mind. I have my pog shield up. I don't necessarily have roses up when I'm sitting in a divine service because I don't want anything to block Father's word. A pog shield is the power of God. It's Father. It's not going to block anything. A rose may kind of, I thought, now I'm using logic, but anyway, make sure that you our running joke is are aligned with Father, because if you don't align yourself, he can't hear you, right? And we can't hear him, right? Now that's just garbage. But anyway, ask him for peace. And then you need to prepare your offering. And how's that happen? For me, I place an offering at every service. I do it through the auto, through e-offering. And before the service starts, during the week, I'll say to Father, please use part of my offering for this situation, for that situation. Going into these realms, I've said to him, please use part of my offering for that. And then there's other parts where I'll say, now also use it for Ethan. He's going to be going to college in the fall. So I'm praying that you'll guide him through that entire process and keep him safe. Here's my offering to say, thank you, Father, for all the things you gave me this week, for getting me through this difficult time. There is absolutely nothing wrong you can say to him with your offering or what to use it. And then even at one point today, I said to him, and then if there's anybody who would like to bring an offering to you, let them take from mine so they have something to bring to you. And I have offered that to everybody in eternity. If you want to bring an offering to Father, take a portion of mine. Because I know you don't have anything monetarily. Now you do. But it's important that we don't just place our offering and go, take it away there, Father. Good to go. Right? And I have on other occasions said, I don't even know what to ask of you, but here's my offering and do with it as you wish. Place your offering with the right heart. Why are you even placing an offering? Right? We're not going to do it out of habit because you're not tipping him or Jesus to provide something extra for you. That's not why we offer. We give of what he's given us because we're owed to give that to him, a portion of it. But then we go beyond that and we give him something extra because he has always given you and I extra, right? So we need to understand that we have a purpose with our offering. Ask for forgiveness daily. We've talked about this through all these years. You can't just show up on the service day and go, okay, please forgive me. The minute we do something wrong, we've got to ask Father forgiveness. And that for me happens constantly all through the day. Something will slip. I'll get upset about something. Sorry. Make sure you ask for forgiveness daily. And then here's the biggest one. Forgive those who hurt you. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I forget to do that. And I take that for granted that Father automatically knows that I don't hold anything against anybody. And when I take that moment to think about those who have hurt me, I come to find that there might be something that happened years ago. And I'll think about it. And it's still a little raw is the word I'll say. And then I realize that I need to forgive, because it still hurts. So that's how I know it's still real and I haven't answered for it yet. Take the time, okay? Don't hold anything against anybody. It doesn't do any of us any good. And then the most important thing too is to ask to hear Father's word. We know that sometimes the brothers are off on their tangents and they're doing what they think is a seminar kind of thing is. But if you ask Father for his word, the Holy Spirit will use that minister and he will give you something. If it doesn't happen in word, it'll happen through sacrament. We've brought that out many times. Make sure you ask Father for something. He's always going to get you something, right? But if you go out of your way to ask him specifically for something, then you show him how vested you are in your own faith and that you're coming to the service prepared to receive something. Does that make sense? Okay. When you step into his presence, do you feel his presence? Do we recognize that we have now stepped out of this world and we have now stepped into Father's holy, sanctified home? And if you feel sometimes that the home is not sanctified and holy, then you have the power and authority to do that. You can walk into the church and say, in Father's name, I sanctify this home so that nothing evil is here, nothing foreign is in this. We have the gifts. Let's use them. We can pog the whole place. We can have our lead angels pog. We can have our healing masters ground everything. That is the sanctification that takes place. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill with Father's love this place. Now it's sanctified. Now we're ready to hear his word. And now Father will step in and you and I should feel him near to us. For me, I see him. So he makes a comment. He waves. The three of them up there get goofy sometimes and they're all waving with both hands, you know, and they're making stupid faces. It's funny and I love it. He can do that for you too. And then also be still. Stop striving. Stop fighting. Just relax and remember Father has this. And then all you have to do is focus and listen. Be still. In other words, shut up and just let him talk. Accept the sacraments with a thankful heart. We've been new apostolic, most of us, all of our lives. And it used to be three times a week we received all the sacraments. And it was like old hat is the word I'll say. But to realize the sacrifice of what Jesus went through is not ordinary. It's not without its specialness, and that we don't forget that we show Father the value in all that he has done for us through Jesus and the sacraments and the processes that Jesus has set up for you and I to take the time to spend and have a small supper with us, to show that he cares about us, to feel his presence too. When we have our sins forgiven, do we feel something move over our heart and soul? Do you feel a difference? If you've prepared and you're doing all this, you should. You should feel something. And that's an acknowledgement from Father that you are doing the right thing to make sure that you value everything that he provides for you. Always give thanks. We do. And sometimes we do it out of habit. We can't just do it out of habit. And if you're so overwhelmed with what you're feeling and you don't know what the words are that you want to say, then say that to Father. I don't know what to say, but I am so appreciative. I so many times have said to him, the word thank you is so lame. You had to have come up with a better word. And when we get to the kingdom, because we're going to have a new vocabulary, we are going to have the words we would like to have to express ourselves to Father. Rest assured of that. And it isn't going to be pig Latin. Hold on to the word through the days. There's a reason why you get a service on a Sunday, and then you get a service on a Wednesday, and then you get a service on a Sunday. Because everything that you hear in that service on Sunday is going to get you to the next service that you attend. You need to hold on to that word. You need to ponder it. You need to remember it. I know a lot of people in service actually take notes and they look at them. There's nothing wrong with that. Do that for yourself. If you have a moment and you ask HS, could you please help me remember what the service was? Or help me remember a special word that I need right now to keep me from killing everybody around me and choking the crap out of the guy that keeps slowing down in front of me. please give me something, right? Hold on to the word and make it your own. And then just repeat. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Fred will post this on the site. It'll be on a pretty little scroll, like our watchword.
Nice. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, everybody. Does anybody have anything else? Okay. February birthdays. Ultraviolet had it on the 14th, and Trisys will be on the 28th. Have I missed anybody? Okay, our next meeting will be March 13th, and I ask Quasar to close the meeting. Quasar.
Yeah, I'm off mute. Loving Father, we are so happy and thankful that we have this opportunity, dear Father, to have this kind of a relationship. Even as we find ourselves serving, we talk about that relationship, that everyone has that opportunity. Be with us and help us that we do our part. The things, dear Father, that were brought up concerning eternity, we now see it in a different light, that we can be more active in that. Help us that from here forward, we're able to do that. It doesn't take long. Help us, Father, and everything that we do and all that we need. Bless us in our future. Help us always to be faithful and true. And help us, dear Father, to truly be the guardians that you created us to be. For all of those who are in difficult circumstances, dear Father, bless and strengthen and help all. We love you. We thank you. We need you. We look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus will come. We truly hope, but believe that we'll see that day. Let your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. Love you.
Thank you.
Have a great week.